Happy Sunday. Good afternoon. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is called Reflections. And what we do for the next 30 minutes is we read from a daily devotional written by Sarah Young called Jesus Calling. And we also read from the Holy Bible. And today's reading in the Bible will be a continuation of the Gospel of Matthew. We pick up with chapter 18. And as we do every Sunday, as we begin with prayer, and we ask the Heavenly Father to please smile upon us this day, this beautiful day, this glorious day as we get into the month of September. Lord, we're so thankful for your love and your grace. We're so thankful, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us. And Lord, we even thank you for those things that aren't a blessing. And the reason we thank you for those, Lord, is because we're called to, but more importantly, we learn from those situations in our life that aren't comfortable, that are, may actually, in fact, be painful. And may we always rely and rely on you and come to you at all times. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for our loved ones. We thank you for those we've known in the past, that we know now in the present, and will know in the future. Lord, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus. We also thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service, its volunteers and its donors. And Father, we thank you. We thank you so very much for this time. May you open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we may live them and share them with others. And we ask all this in your holy son's name, Jesus. Sarah Young teaches us today, I am your best friend as well as your king. Wow, I'm going to read that again. I am your best friend as well as your king. Walk hand in hand with me through your life. Together we will face whatever each day brings, pleasures, hardships, adventures, disappointments. Nothing is wasted when it's shared with me. I can bring beauty out of the ashes of my lost dreams. I can glean joy out of sorrow, peace out of adversity. Only a friend who is also the King of Kings could accomplish this divine alchemy. There is no one like me. The friendship I offer you is practical and down to earth, yet it is satiated with heavenly glory. Living in my presence means living in two realms simultaneously, the visible world and the unseen. Eternal reality. I have equipped you to stay conscious of me while walking along dusty, earthbound paths. John 15, verses 13 through 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isaiah 61:3 says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Thank you, Miss Young. We appreciate you sharing your wisdom. And so we pick up today with chapter 18, and last week, the beginning of our time, chapters 13 through 17, Jesus continued to teach us in parables. And then the one thing that kept on kind of a repeating theme last week that Jesus had kind of predicted to his disciples, I believe it was three times, that he must suffer at the hands of the church elders, die and then come back to life on the third day. And in fact, there was one time and Peter rebuked him and said, never, and Jesus said, get behind me, devil. Get behind me, Satan. He said that, and then also said that you understand the things of man, not the things of God. And that's a challenge for all of us, is not to just understand how we understand things in our world, we need to better understand what God's thoughts, God's feelings, God's plan for us. And hopefully today's reading will do that. We pick up with chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." So why does Jesus answer that question? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he pulls a child into the middle of the disciples. Children back then were not revered. Children back then were not praised. Children back then were, I'll say, a necessary evil. Right? Everyone had to become a child before they became an adult, but children didn't speak unless they were spoken to. Children couldn't possess anything. They had no means to possess anything. Children had no responsibility. Children had no opinions. Children had no resources. So they were very, very humble at that time, and everyone treated them as such. But Jesus teaches us we need to be humble if we want to get to heaven. We need to submit to a greater authority, and that greater authority, of course, is God. And a great example here, and a great context, a great reflection for us, that for us to get into the kingdom of God, we need to be humble as the children of God are humble. We need to be needy to something greater than ourselves, which is God. Great example. Verse 7, chapter 18. "Woe to the world because of these things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for that one that's wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the other 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Again, a great little reflection here. Jesus, we are lost. Jesus comes looking for us. We have to be cognizant of that. We have to look towards him and say, "Here's our shepherd. Let us run to him." Open our ears, open our hearts, open our souls to Jesus' calling, because he is calling. He calls each and every one of us perpetually, continuously. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as he would be a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with you. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered he and his wife and his children all to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go free. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay you back everything." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that they had seen. Then the master came to that servant and said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It is hard to get into the kingdom of heaven if we're holding grudges. It is hard for us to get into the kingdom of heaven if we're holding grudges. If someone has wronged you, forgive them. Just forgive them. I'm not telling you to forget it. I'm just telling you to forgive them. You'll be happier in this life, and it will help you get to the next. I reflect constantly, and I say constantly, it's constantly. When I find myself upset with somebody else, I then try to put myself in God's position. Because how many times am I disappointing God on how I behave, and what I say, and what I didn't say, and what I did or what I didn't do? And I realize, man, I am nothing but a basket of sin. And how can I fault anyone else if I myself am that way? So I try. I'm not always successful, but I certainly try to be a forgiving soul, so that God Himself will forgive me as well. Chapter 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea on the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And he said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between husband and wife, is it better not to marry?" Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept it should accept it." Then little children were brought to Jesus for them to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." "All these things I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When Jesus said this to his disciple, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man. Excuse me, I missed a verse. Jesus said, then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If you have a hard heart, chances are you can't do anything about it, but God can. If you know someone that you love that has a hard heart, chances are you nor they can do anything about it, but God can. That's part of our petition for prayer, is if we know that we have a hard heart, or if we know someone else that has a hard heart, that we pray for them and ask for help from the one who can help. Jesus looked at them and said again, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again at about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked for only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have that right to do that with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and he will be turned over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in heaven. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus came to them and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Keep that in mind. The Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, did not come to be served. He came to serve. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting out by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Chapter 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them here to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. The prophecy said, Say to the daughter of Zion, See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought that donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet, the Nazarene. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he had done, and the children shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back into the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing except for leaves. Then he said to it, May you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? They asked. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you could say to this mountain, Go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. If you answer me, then I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? Jesus asked. They discussed it amongst themselves and said, If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they hold John that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, We do not know. And then he said to them, Neither will I tell you, but with authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered, but later the son changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he never went to the vineyard. Which of the two did what their father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect its fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what do you think he'll do to those tenants? Jesus asked. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, but on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held him as a prophet. I want to read verse 43 again, 43 and 44. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and he on whom it falls will be crushed. So hopefully we are those falling onto Jesus and we're broken into pieces to where we can follow him. We do not want that stone to fall on us and then we're crushed and put into hell forever. Folks, we've run out of time for this episode of Reflections. We hope you've enjoyed this program. The content of our program, again, is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. If you have any feedback for us, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. Thank you, and may God bless you this day and every day.